Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
All right, good afternoon and welcome to the Brian Mitchell Show. We got a busy show for you today. It was going to be joined by Mike Jones right around 12:15. 1 o'clock, David Aldridge will join us and break down John Wall wanting to be shipped out of town and also all the different things that are going on around the NBA with the trades and different things happening at this point. We'll talk a little bit about Ron Rivera and his affection with the media, or lack of affection with the media here in D.C. And then at 12:35, Radio.com insider Michael Irvin will be joining us to discuss Cowboy Week and different things that are happening around the NFL. And, it's Victory Monday, people. Yeah, it's been a long time. I understand it wasn't the prettiest, but you know what? I'll take a pretty victory over an ugly loss. I take an ugly victory over a pretty loss any day. I will never, ever be sitting up here complaining too much about a loss, a win, but you have to sometimes understand that you have to get better. You have to correct a lot of different things that went on in the game because, as I always say, will that performance yesterday get you a victory in some of these games that we have coming up? And I would say no. It'll be a resounding no. So you have to correct those things. All right? Yes, the ball was tipped, but it was an interception. But it was still an interception. You can't have that. All right? You can't. And then Justin Hopkins, another guy, young man who we're talking about, but then at the end of the game, when you can erase it and make people not even think about your name all week, you miss one. But still, they won the game, and you have to be happy about that. He could have easily been the guy from over there with the Cincinnati Bengals who missed two field goals and also an extra point. Busy weekend, and I'll just get this out the way real quick. You know, I had one thing about it. Thanksgiving is coming up, and the one thing I try and do all the time is make sure – like my mother and father taught me to be a blessing to someone. So people have heard me talk over the last, since April, about bike riding and things of that nature. So just wanted to throw this out there. My little crew, we went out there and also had some support from FaZe Cycling where we wanted to feed some families. So our crew is riding 30. We chose to feed 30 families. So we were able to provide them with turkeys and all the fixings to be able to, this Thursday, sit down and enjoy themselves with their families. So we want to thank some people, Ed Girasol, store manager, Sharon Richardson, and Brian Knott for helping us out from over there in Waldorf, the Shoppers Food Warehouse in Waldorf. They helped us out with turkeys and all to make sure we could provide those families and bless them. So I thank my man Mark Winbush for really putting that all together and working as hard. He and Tina and the rest of the crew. That's how my weekend started off, and then it ended with a victory by the Washington football team. And let me just tell you, you know, as I look at this team now, is it perfect? No. But is our family perfect? Hell no. And we love our families anyway. We find a way to love our families. And as I begin to look at this thing, I know there are a lot of people on that team or in that building that would like us to just talk about all the good things all the time. But that is not reality. Reality is that this is a flawed football team that have some talented, super talented players on it that are starting to make some noise. For me, Terry McLaurin, as I've said before, if it's one-on-one, I'm going to go to Terry all the time. If it's one-on-two, I might go to Terry still about 50% of the time. Hell, if it's one-on-three, I'm going to still give him an opportunity because he's that damn good. Then you saw Cam Sims jump up and began to say, you know what? Hey, I want a part in this concert. I don't want you singing solos by yourself. We're going to do a little duet for a minute. And then yesterday, you saw Steven Sims finally get back on the field, and you saw his effect. Logan Thomas has played terrific. I think he played way better than we thought he could. And then Antonio Gibson, listen, I am watching him week by week begin to show that he's more comfortable running the football, more comfortable cutting and setting up. He showed great patience yesterday. If anybody watched the game last night, you watch Ezekiel Elliott. I know you don't like to give him a lot of praise. He's a Dallas Cowboy. But ultimately, you watch his patience in the backfield. Antonio Gibson gave me a lot of that yesterday. J.D. McKissic has been a guy who I've liked since he stepped in. You know, people like to label you in the NFL, call you a third down back. Hell, that kid can run the ball. He can do come out the backfield. He can do multiple things. He blocked. Peyton Barber comes in, and he's a battering ram. So now when we started the season, all we discussed was Terry McLaurin. That was the weapon. Now you're starting to figure out and find out that there are other weapons on his football team. And a guy who I must give great kudos to, Morgan Moses. Morgan Moses at right tackle. Yes, there's been time when Morgan has been great. There's time when I question and scratch my head. Hell, I try to pull the hair out, and I don't have any hair. But Morgan Moses was forced into moving to left tackle last week, and I think he finished the game up rather strong. Then yesterday, I don't think anybody heard Morgan Moses' name. And when you don't hear a left tackle's name, that means he played a terrific game. That means he was balling out. So I want to say I thank Morgan Moses for what he gave us yesterday. Now, others have to get better on that offensive line, okay? And that it is what it is. Now, let's flip it over. For all the pundits out there and all the naysayers, when you start thinking about a guy named Chase Young, well, he don't have all the sacks. You don't have to have sacks to have an impact on a game. Did you not watch him yesterday when he was being double-teamed? He was able to jump up and bat a ball down. Did you not watch him still pressure their quarterback, Joe Burrow, early? Okay. When he hit Joe Burrow, I thought Joe Burrow might not get up over there when he fumbled the ball. All right. And we saw later on in that game, and, you know, our prayers and thoughts definitely go out to Joe Burrow and his family, because this is football. And no matter what you do, what you try to do, there's still an opportunity for you to get hurt on the football field. And the hit that he took, and I've been sitting there, we watch people on TV saying they're asking too much of Joe Burrow. No. When you show somebody you can do something, they're going to expect it of you. Joe Burrow has shown he can take it. And he can go out there and read and dissect defenses and get the ball off. He was getting the ball out of his hand so damn quick, we didn't have a chance to sack him early. He was not sacked. But when Ryan Finley came into the game, which makes me think I could come out of retirement and play quarterback in the NFL if he's playing quarterback in the NFL, he held the ball all day. And he started getting sacked and was sacked five times in less time than Joe Burrow was in there. But Chase Young is a guy who I have seen multiple tapes where he's doubled. But let's take it one step farther. I watched multiple tapes where three people are right there to block him. And if you are getting, if you're commanding that amount of attention in your first year in this NFL, you are a bad ass. That's all I'll tell you. So Chase Young is doing that. Montez Sweat was coming in. And Jonathan Allen, I think, probably had one of his best games. You know, I've seen Jonathan like up and down, okay? I did not think he was as consistent as I would like to see him, but yesterday he played much better. Deron Payne is a guy I think I truly like. Deron is, you know, he's steady, you know, steady Eddie. We didn't, and the guy that's not playing, I think when he's back on the field, we're going to realize just how good Matt Ioannidis was. Matt Ioannidis is as consistent and as dominant as any lineman on that field, but for some reason, us as Washington football team fans, we only want to give the love to the people that was drafted in the first round. I would advise you all, this is your homework assignment. Go look at the top players from this team. And I bet you, not all of them are first rounders. Hell, some of them might not have been drafted. Some of them might have been drafted late. But let's stop thinking that the only way you make a football team, the only way that you're going to become great if you're a first rounder. Too many people have done it without doing that. Okay? So let's get over that a little bit. But two guys that I want to say great kudos to, and I've listened to a lot of people that I believe in and I trust in when it comes to football. Those two guys, Kendall Fuller and Ronald Darby, okay? Kendall Fuller has played great throughout throughout this year. We've seen him. He's made plays. He's gotten interceptions. He has done everything we expected. He was the reason. Kendall Fuller has been the guy that we did not want to leave, and he's the guy that we're happy as hell that he came back. Ronald Darby, a young man who had some issues when he was up in Philly because he was injured a lot. He was banged up. But now that he's getting healthy, yesterday they took opportunities to go down the field. Joe Burrow completed like 20-something passes in the first half. But it was a lot of dump-off. Like when we talk about Alex, the dink and dunks, he was doing that. But every time he went over the top to try and do something, Kendall or Ronald was there. And I think those guys should be commended for the way that they played yesterday. They played some outstanding football. And now, don't think I'm saying that the football game was outstanding. Okay? They played, those two guys, I think, defensively played outstanding. There are a few other guys that played some outstanding football. But as a team, the performance we gave yesterday won't beat some of the better football teams out there. The performance we gave yesterday will not beat the Dallas Cowboys football team that I saw last night. But we don't know if that same team is going to show up this Thursday. Now, this is a short week, and things are starting to get a little bit different here. And they're going to change up. So they had a different week last week when they couldn't practice. They had to have walkthroughs because of COVID. And this week is going to be short. It's going to be different. But I think they want all of our Thanksgiving Day dinner to taste good. So the way that they do that is handle business, get a victory. It's Dallas week, people. I know it may not feel like it, but we're going to get you into it. And then later on in the show, as I stated, we'll be joined by a Dallas Cowboy, the playmaker, they call him. Michael Irvin will join us at 2:35. So make sure that you got your show tuned in to the Brian Mitchell Show and check that out. We're going to take us a quick break here. We'll be right back. Mike Jones, USA Today, Football Jones Podcast, will be joining us.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
I know you like that. I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all want
to. Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980 and Radio.com app. Check us out there. You can get us all the time when you want to go with us. Take us with you sometimes. Just get the app and follow them. Take it with you. All right, but joining me now. Here on the Brian Mitchell Show, USA.com and USA Today, my man from the Football Jones Podcast, Mike Jones. Mike, what's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Ben Mitch. How about you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Now, what's going on, brother? Mike covered the game yesterday, the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm just asking, what's happening with the Ravens? Because, yes, they played okay, but they were more dominant a little bit, let's say four weeks ago. And over the last 4 weeks, they have not been the game that they were early. Do you see something that changed?
Yeah, I mean, when I look at this whole season, they started off the year really well. But when you look at who they're playing, when it comes to the competition, they've now lost to the Chiefs, a playoff team. They've lost to the Steelers. They've lost to the Titans. I know right now the Browns would be in the playoffs and the Colts, but they just do not look dominant. I was looking at their numbers. Offensively, last year, they were among the best out there in points scored and in yards. They were second. Points, they were first. They're 24th in yards per game and like 12th in points scored. They just don't strike fear into the heart of opponents, and it's just like they haven't. With that saying about if you stay the same, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like they've regressed this year, not because they've gotten a lot worse, but I just don't see a whole lot of growth, not from Lamar Jackson, not from this offense, not from the playmakers.
Well, one thing I noticed yesterday, something that I have not noticed in years when you look at a Baltimore Ravens football team, was that they were out-physicaled. They were out-manned. And you saw Derrick Henry was running the ball like he wanted to. And one time they touched him with like four or five people, but he walks into the end zone. You know, they gave up 173 yards rushing, 250 yards passing. You know, the tackling this has never been a problem with them on defense. And it does, like you said, they're not dominant offensively. I don't think the defense strikes fear in people anymore either.
No, you're right. And it's weird. When they are up, when they have a healthy lead, they play a different way. Mm-hmm. When they're in close games, I mean, we've seen them blow leads against the They blew a lead against the Steelers. They blew the lead yesterday. I mean, they're in the fourth quarter with leads, and they don't look for that knockout punch. You know, and like you said, look, I know A.J. Brown's a big physical receiver, but Queen was the linebacker that hit him, and he outweighs him by like 12 pounds, and he just got backed right into the end zone like he was on skates.
I thought A.J. Brown was a tight end on that play, the way he walked through him, man.
He looked like it, didn't he? I mean, he looked like Derrick Henry, the way he just manhandled his way into there. And there just isn't something's missing there, and it's an attitude thing. Because Mike Vrabel said after the game, he said, yeah, we could kind of tell looking over at their body language on the sideline and out on the field. We could tell we were starting to get to them in the fourth quarter, and I knew that we were going to pull this thing out. That's really bad if your opponent's looking at you across the field saying, like, hey, guys, we got them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't get that with a Baltimore Ravens football team. You know, you go back to the Ray Lewis days, they were always a team that you knew that if it came down to bully ball, they were going to be the biggest bully. If it came down to I'm going to show you who's the baddest, they were the one. Now, when you see a receiver do what he did, that has to make – you got to be on the sideline going, oh, Lord, we're in trouble.
Right.
Because receivers don't know – unless you're DK Metcalf. You normally don't do that. But now there's a different level of receiver in this league. I watched Terry McLaurin yesterday with the little scowl on his face as if, you know, dude, you can't beat me. And I think that's the mindset of a lot of these receivers. We used to call them, you know, the prima donnas. Hell no, they're football players these days.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And when you look, the Ravens don't have anybody like that. When you look at their playmakers, I mean, Dez Bryant yesterday had more catches than he had had. You know, he didn't have any catches the week before, the last game. But he looked like he kind of had some hunger or whatever as they went to him several times late. But you don't really have a nastiness to any of those playmakers. And Lamar Jackson needs that. I mean, I think that he needs to get in some guys' faces, needs to strike a fire in them, find ways to elevate his team. But there's not that attitude, that mindset like last year we saw the swagger of that team on offense, on defense. We don't see them just saying, hey, we're going to – and maybe some of it's because Mark Ingram's been hurt – but there's not that physicality like, hey, we're going to line you up, punch you in the mouth, and steamroll you. We don't see that kind of attitude out of this team this year.
Mike, I know you were covering the Ravens game. But before we go on to another game I want to ask you about, because you mentioned it about the playoffs early, and you start looking at all the AFC teams that they would have to beat or battle to go to the Super Bowl, it doesn't look good for them, especially after watching Patrick Mahomes last night. But people really didn't care about the game as much as what the hell went down with Harbaugh and Vrabel.
Yeah, you know, I think that Mike Vrabel does a great job of tapping into his players and getting them fired up. Now, we don't know for sure, but that whole team went and they did their huddle. They broke it down on the logo at midfield. That's something you see in college ball, but it gets the team going. It fired up, you know, and they did it. The Ravens hadn't all fully even come out of the locker room yet. Harbaugh saw it and he didn't like it. And then you saw the Titans players jawing at him and then Vrabel jawing at him. And that whole attitude permeated throughout the whole game. And instead of the Ravens being ticked off about it and taking it to them after they disrespected them on their logo, we saw them fizzle and fade. And we saw the Titans have the last laugh. And, you know, afterwards, Mike Vrabel, you know, he didn't say that they planned it, but he was just like, I just made sure there was an issue. There's no issue or anything like that. I checked with him afterwards. We're all good now. We're on the same page. Harbaugh said we're on the same page. But Harbaugh couldn't say anything because he got his lunch handed to him. So, you know, I just feel like Mike Vrabel probably knew how to fire his guys up and said, hey, let's go on the logo. We're going to break it down right here. And we're going to let them know that we're here to be physical. We're here for a dogfight.
You know, when I was in Philadelphia, John Harbaugh was on that staff. And he knew. We did that every week. We went to your logo. When we were at home, we went on our logo. When we were on the road, we went on your logo. And we came together. And we knew it was going to piss you off. But you know what? They had a little bulldog in the middle of them telling them, like, you know what? They're going to come out and want to fight. Now, anybody that's going to run from the fight, leave the damn huddle right now. But if you stay in this fight, in this huddle, you better damn well be ready to fight, and that's the way we attack them. We won a lot of damn games in Philadelphia. And I think John know exactly what they were trying to do. That's trying to take your damn heart. And they came out and they did that in a sense. And I think what happened, whenever the bully has been whooping your ass the whole time, the first time you step and punch him right in his damn nose, he's confused. He don't know what to do. The bully got punched in the nose in that little performance right there yesterday.
Yeah, and you did not see. I mean, we saw a couple plays, out of them, the 31-yard touchdown pass. We didn't see any real attitude. I mean, Lamar is not running like he did last year, and that's part of the way defenses are playing him. But I don't see the same, killer instinct. You know, they were trying to set up for a field goal rather than trying to take a shot to win the game. Lamar kept on, scrambling, trying to find an open receiver instead of trying to take off and get to that end zone and impose his will. This is just a different team. They don't have that mindset. And, they should have responded really, really fired up to want to make sure that they didn't let this team get this win on their field after doing that on their logo. But instead, when it came down to crunch time, they wilted.
Well, as I say, it's got to be the battle of the fittest when you get out on that football field. Mike Jones joins us from USA Today and the Football Jones podcast here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, and also the radio.com app. Mike, last night we had some great football games. I know you were covering that game, but I'm sure you had a little eye peeking on the Colts against the Packers, the Vikings and the Cowboys, and also the Raiders and the Chiefs. I think when you look at the Raiders, Chiefs, and also the Indianapolis Colts, those are AFC teams. That's somebody Baltimore may have to deal with to try to move forward. Watching the Colts, how they every time Aaron Rodgers and his crew threw something, they came right back and went right back at him and scored again.
Yeah, they did. And you saw physicality out of them as well.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you just never know which Phillip Rivers you're going to get on a given day. Sometimes he's Grandpa Phillip Rivers, and sometimes he's Vintage Phillip Rivers. But, I mean,
you got to feed all those kids, man.
Exactly. Sometimes he's worn down, if you can catch him on a good day, I like their chances. I mean, they gave, Baltimore a hard time. And I mean, I think that, okay, look, the Raiders executed their game plan as well as they possibly could have. But the problem is even though they've got a lot of weapons on offense, they can run the ball, they can pass the ball, they've got a good defense. There's no accounting for Patrick Mahomes and his wizardry. Uh-huh. And even at their best, the Raiders made the Chiefs sweat.
Yes.
It's the second time now. They match up with them well, but Derek Carr versus Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes is going to win that thing every single time.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes hit 9 receivers, okay? But I ask this question. Does John Gruden and his Raiders have something on them? Because the first time they beat them in Kansas City, and this time they put 31 on them.
Yep.
This is probably a team they don't want to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Because, divisional opponents, you can throw the records out. They knew that Kansas City was going to be motivated. I did not think this game was going to be close this time around.
I thought the same. I would have lost my money because I thought that Kansas City was going to beat them by 2 touchdowns.
Right, right. But, man, I mean, it came down. Now, I will say this. That game-winning touchdown, he looked as nonchalant, just like he was like had not a care in the world, just like he was out there playing against his little brother. And I was like, man, he just looks cool. And, I mean, they made it look so easy. But I will say, if they face each other in the playoffs, they do match up well, and they have the offensive firepower to exchange blows with them. But, John Gruden's no slouch. Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, they are very talented. But
yeah.
Gruden's a pretty good play caller, too. But, again, that X factor, the Patrick Mahomes, I think that he elevates them, just gives them a little bit more than what the Raiders can account for.
Mike, I watch him in pregame. They show him throwing passes, okay? And he was looking left with this little funny look with his tongue on his mouth, throwing the ball to the right side. He was like, we look at him in the game and he does things and we go, wow, how the hell he did? He looked like he was practicing the no-look pass.
Yeah, yep.
It's crazy.
He does. I mean, that's how he's so good at that. And I hear that in practices, we see the shovel passes. He's been lobbying, I heard, to do this behind the back pass that he has got. That's like, and he wants them to let him do it. And they're like, no.
I'll put money on it. I put money on it's going to be done. I put money on it. Andy Reid will run it one day. I'm telling you. Because see, Andy, that is the thing that I loved about Andy when I was with him in Philly. Andy would ask you about things you can do. And he would say, well, draw it up. And once you draw it up and he saw it, he'll come back with the play. And you're like, coach, that looked like the play I showed you. No, it's different than the one you showed me. It's exactly what you showed him. The man is good. He knows how to take stuff and push it forward. But last night, okay, we've watched the Dallas Cowboys play. We watch Andy Dalton, and you understand Andy Dalton is a veteran player. He's been around this league. He understands it. When he first got in earlier this year, he didn't look like the Andy Dalton that showed up last night. Now he's had time to figure out things. Dallas looked good last night, or was it just that Minnesota looked bad? What's wrong with it?
Well, I mean, we have not seen Minnesota, not a playoff for Minnesota for very much this year. They've disappointed, especially early in the season when they opened 0-4, and then they realized, okay, we got to make Kirk Cousins game manager, and we got to run the football. Well, you know, Adam Thielen made some great plays last night, but as a whole, they weren't on it. And yet Dallas looked as good as they have all year long. I mean, I don't know what took so long, but Zeke Elliott finally came to play this season. This was his first 100-yard game. I don't know if they can sustain this or not. I don't know what made everything fall into place. Maybe it was the opponent. But when you look at this division that they're in, they've got hope. And I know they were talking about, hey, we're going to go 7-0 the rest of the way. I mean, don't start counting your chickens before they hatch, but they were feeling good about themselves, and maybe they just needed something to kind of rally around and get going. I don't know.
All right, Mike, you saw Dallas play last night, and you saw Washington get their third victory of the year yesterday. As you start looking for, you live in this town, you understand Dallas week, you understand this rivalry here. I know people try to downplay it, but they still hate each other. Okay, right. We dislike them. I got Michael Irvin's coming on a little bit later. But I think one thing that you'll learn about the past is that those teams respect the hell out of each other. Might not like each other when they play, but they respect each other because, you know, game recognized game. Now, when you look at these two teams and you start thinking about a possibility and an outcome coming Thursday, Thanksgiving, when we want our food to taste good, so a victory will make it taste better, what are your thoughts on that game?
You know, it's going to be really interesting. We have, you know, Washington finally put it together and got a win, Alex Smith's first win. Their defense kind of worries me. They are not very consistent. They've got the weapons to really get after a quarterback. They've got the pass rushers and everything. But then we see lapses in coverage and things like that. But I think, you know, I mean, this should be one of those games where, you know, the records, they're all very similar. This team, both of them highly motivated. The division door is open. Both of them want to, you know, string together a second straight victory. I'm hoping that we get treated to a real, you know, classic throwback Washington-Dallas matchup.
Slobberknocker. Something like that.
Yep, exactly.
All right, we got a game tonight, the Rams and the Buccaneers, Tom Brady. I'm not going to say facing Jared Goff. I'm going to say facing Sean McVay. Okay? What do you expect of this game tonight?
Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Goff, he's faced off with Brady in the Super Bowl, but, you know, he didn't – you know, neither one of them played really well that Super Bowl. The Rams' defense is really been playing very well. We've seen kind of some ups and downs from the Buccaneers as they're getting, still acclimated here. But you know that they're highly motivated because they're coming off of they got it handed to them a couple weeks ago by the Saints on national TV. Now it's another nationally televised game. They want to go out there and show that they are one of the elite in the NFC. Both of these teams. This is a playoff matchup. This should be a really good game for us all to watch.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, I mentioned the Football Jones podcast, and you can follow Mike on his podcast, Anywhere Podcast or so. What you have in the works for us this week?
Yeah, I just had one that came out on Friday with Alex Smith. If you haven't heard that one, that's a really good one of him talking about his journey. That's up now. And then tomorrow we're going to dive into some of the stuff, some questions we got here about Green Bay. I'm not quite sure about them. They're concerning me a little bit, but we'll get into all that.
I tell you like this, every time I hear somebody ask somebody about Aaron Rodgers, they tell me the greatest quarterback ever. And I always hear people tell me that the great quarterbacks make people around them better. He has to win some more for me to ever say greatest quarterback ever, because that's the man still playing. And he's going to be playing tonight, and Tom Brady, he got to beat him. That's another guy I knew from Joe Montana. So until, he's probably the most prolific passer ever. He can throw every ball. But greatest quarterback, that's a different story. I won't give him that. So thank you, Mike, man. Appreciate you giving us time, man.
All right, thanks, man. I'll see you.
All right, Mike Jones from USA Today and the Football Jones podcast. Make sure you get follow this podcast and try to get it anywhere, podcast or so. We're going to take us a quick break here. We get back, Team 980 and Radio.com. We're going to also take you around the NFL. There was a lot of good games yesterday, and people are starting to play like you're supposed to play around November, December. We'll discuss those games when we get back.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980 and Radio.com. We'll go around the league just a little bit. And basically what I decided was that we have six games left here with the Washington football team. One of them is Thursday, which has come very quick. And I'm going through the six games that we have left. I've heard many people talk about six, seven wins may win this division. And I guess when I finish talking about these six games, we'll see where we're going to get those three other victories or four other victories to get to the playoffs and win this division. So first one is the Dallas Cowboys. They played against, they ended up winning last night, coming out, beating the Minnesota Vikings 31-24. And the only reason I really look at this game, because I understand you can throw the records out the book when these two teams face each other. But they scored 31 points, okay? And I think when you start looking at what we've given up as a defense sometimes and what we haven't scored as an offense, that troubles me a little bit. Playing them down there in Texas Stadium, and I know a lot of us believe that Jerry has a connection or that inside line to the referees and things get called a little differently, but that's a game where I believe it's winnable. But I also believe if you don't handle your business, it can be one that you can be embarrassed, because what I saw happen last night, Zeke Elliott began to run the football like Zeke Elliott runs the football, and they played off of Zeke running the ball. That's their key. Their recipe to getting wins. So we will have to be able to stop the run and make them have to go in the air with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton looked good. He threw one interception. He threw two touchdowns, but he ultimately looked very good when he did not have to worry about just carrying the load. So as I give you my early prediction or early key for this game, stop Zeke Elliott. You stop the Cowboys. As we move on, then we go to the Steelers, who are sitting now at 10-0. I think they were 8-0 for the first time in history. 10-0, I'm sure they never thought about that one. But they played against the Jacksonville Jaguars team, a team they should beat, and they basically looked like that the whole game. They cruised in that football game. Beat them 27-3. And the Steelers, they do it the way football has been played forever. They play physical. They play hard-nosed offensively. They play damn sure hard-nosed defensively, and they will come and get you. You know, they passed the ball for 267, Ben, two touchdowns, one interception, but they did run the football for over 100 yards. And I'm not talking about, and you look at Connor here, 13 for 89, over 6.8 yards a carry. They understand getting a lead and running the ball and making the game short. That is going to be a very, very tough game, and that's going to be a game where I think we'll find out a lot about this football team. And Coach Rivera talks a lot about building something for the future. And as we talk about building for the future, you will hear me occasionally talk about, the skill position, Terry McLaurin, because I don't think he plays like an ordinary skill position player. You hear me talking about the other receivers and things of that nature. I don't think a lot of these guys play like ordinary players, because their leader is a guy who is not ordinary. He plays it tougher. But what we're going to find out is what I'm trying to find out about this team, and what I look at more than anything than on the field. I don't care as much about the quarterback and running backs and receivers and cornerbacks and all that. I care about defensive line, offensive line. They make a world of difference for me. And when you play against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to find out what your defensive line is about, because they try to come out there and they, like I said, slobber knocker earlier. That's the type of football they want to play. They want to come at you and say, you know what, I'm bigger and better than you. Stop me. And then when they pass protect, they're going to be
blocking you and having somebody come from the inside hitting you in your ribs to make you not want to rush the whole game. Now flip it over. Defensively, they run games. They stun a lot. They blitz a lot. They make your offense have to have their communication at a level that it needs to be successful in this league. So we're going to find out tons about our O-line and D-line in that football game. The 49ers had a bye yesterday. They didn't play. But I'll just say this. Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan is going to want to embarrass this team. He is that type of guy where he holds grudges. Hell, many of the great ones do. When they feel like you wronged them or did something to them, they want to have a game plan or something to come at you and make sure you're going to have to understand that, hey, you made that mistake. Now, this defensive line we have is constructed very similar to what their defensive line was. They have a lot of injuries now. Offensively, you know, they had injuries, but it seemed like no matter who they line up, what running back they bring in, they seem to have some level of success. And we talk about Mike Shanahan from back in the day where he will find his draft picks, you know, running backs late in the draft. You know, some guys were not drafted. Then they get on the football field and you go, well, hell, why didn't somebody draft that person? Why didn't they draft him earlier? But I think it has a lot to do with the way that they scheme it up. Back in the day, they thought the blocking scheme was illegal. They were cutting people, hitting them in the back of the legs. They can't do that anymore, but they still have that level of success. And no, it's not Mike anymore, but his son has taken what Mike gave him and seemed to have perfected it and pushed it to a certain limit. So that game, I believe, we're going to be tested again on the defensive side of the football, where they're going to try to run the ball on us. And as we begin to come up, they'll try to go over the top. But as I say every week, if you do two things in football, stop the run and run the ball, you have a great chance of winning. As we go to that fourth game, looking at the Seattle Seahawks, we watched that game. That was on Thursday night. The Seattle Seahawks played against the Arizona Cardinals, beat them 28-21. And we know how Arizona could play because we played and lost to them earlier. We know what Kyler Murray was capable of doing. Well, Seattle said, you know what, get to him, hold him in the pocket, make him do it from the pocket. And Kyler Murray was not able to have an impact on the game like he normally does. At the end of the game, it closed out by him being sacked. Fourth down, boom, dude came in, beat the right tackle, sacked him, game over. But the guy that we need to be super concerned about, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a guy who will hurt you with his feet, with his arm, and he's a smart and savvy football player. So this game is going to be, we got like Kendall and Ronald Darby played yesterday. They got to play like that. They have DK Metcalf. They're going to go to him. You know they're going to throw him the football, and they're going to keep trying to throw it to him. They run the ball effectively. Now, their defense isn't as good. And I think we have to find a way. You know, Scott and his crew needs to find a way to attack that defense of the Seattle Seahawks because they haven't played great. But we see how good Seattle can play. Right now, they're sitting at 7-3. You know, they're first place in the NFC West. The Cardinals sitting at 6-4. So you compare. And I think this is what we all do as football fans. We look at the teams that we played and how did the team that we're going to play against them. Cardinals beat us, carved us up. Seattle beat them. Same division. Seattle's in first, Cardinals in third place. So we have to start trying to figure out better defense, more consistent defense. Yes, we have shown how good we can be. But then we also shown how bad we can always fall back into. So all I ask for is consistency. Now, the Panthers, that's going to be a game where it's going to have a lot to do with the players want to win it for coach. I know Ron may not say anything about it, but, hell, he wants to show the Panthers and Carolina that you made a mistake. He's here. He's happy here now. But when you're fired from somewhere, it upsets you. So let's look back at that game. We played against the Lions. We lost to them. Okay? We lost to them. The Panthers beat them 20-0. They didn't score on the Panthers. Panthers are sitting at 4-7. They're not much better than what we are playing at. But they seem to be much more effective as an offense. And defensively, you know, they've been in most of the games they play. I mean, very close to games. It wasn't like they were down and had to fight back in the end. So I still see that as a winnable game. I see it as a winnable one. And will we get it? Will we go out there and take full advantage of it? And then when we go into the last game of the season, this could be the game that decides whether or not we win the division. Are we going to be going into the playoffs? Or are we going to be sitting there watching?
You got the Philadelphia Eagles right now. And I think they're playing probably the worst football in the whole division. Dallas looked good yesterday. Philadelphia, with their $130-plus million quarterback, has not played very well and played very good football. Okay? Washington got a victory. The Giants beat us twice. Okay? So when you look at it like that, you start saying, okay, who's playing the worst? And that could be Philly. But will they be playing the worst then? Or will they be a guy who's corrected and righted their ship to go out there and begin to do some things, and now we have to be concerned? But it can all come down. As we looked at this season, started off, heard Ron say something about the division, and I'll be honest with you, I laughed. I'm sure a lot of other people laughed. But when you start looking around the division where nobody is very good, you still have a chance. You're still in it. There is a damn good chance that they could be playing on that last game against the Eagles for a championship. What's this going to take? It's going to take the offensive line getting better, being more consistent. It's going to take this defensive line being better and being more consistent. And I think it's going to have to take an Alex Smith that's somewhere in between what he was yesterday and what he was in the previous two games in the second half. He's going to have to be a guy that goes out and manages the game like he's always done, and he's proven he's exceptional at. But he's also going to have to be a guy who takes some chances, takes some risk, throw the ball down the field, give multiple people opportunities. Because I believe as we go down this thing, we're going to have to run the football effectively, because everyone, I think Ron Rivera's record in November and December is stellar. And I promise you, in November and December down in Carolina, he wasn't tossing it around. Remember, Cam Newton was the quarterback. He ran the ball as much as the running backs did. So some way along the way, we're going to have to run the ball. We're not expecting Alex to run the ball like Cam did, but we're going to have to figure out a way to legitimately run the football and effectively run it, I believe, anywhere from 22 to 28 times a game to be able to do the things we want to do. I don't think that 55 times of Alex passing the ball is vital or key or would do much for us. I think we need to get back to very similar to what he did yesterday. Don't toss the ball as much. 25 times yesterday. Completed 17. He had 166 yards. But they won the football game. I'll take my quarterback stat line like that and win the game over the one where people are telling me about how many passes he threw when we were already down by double digits. That's not what you want to see. That's not how it has to be. The method is you score more points than them and you win the game. Yards do nothing for you. And I think Lorenzo Alexander said it yesterday. Cincinnati was going up and down the field, but they weren't getting points. And a lot of it had to do with their kicker, but when you don't score, you don't win. So when we look at those 300-yard passing day against Detroit, I don't think he threw a touchdown. So you need to be getting touchdowns if you're going to win in this league. So that's around the league of the last six games we have here for the Washington football team. It's going to be a tall task, but hey, they need to get three, maybe four of the last six to get to the playoffs. All right, let's take us a break here. When we get back, we'll be joined by our man, David Aldridge from Athletic DC. Talked a little bit about some of these moves in basketball, and then John Wall requests to be out of town. I also may ask David a little. David has been in the media for a long time, covering all different types of sports. And I want to talk to him about the constant talk of the media from the man in charge here. Does it make much sense? So this is the Brian Mitchell Show. We'll be back in a few.